The Word of God at Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. There ends our reading of God's Word tonight. May the Lord bless our reading of the Holy Scriptures. On the basis of the chapter that we read earlier and all of God's Word is the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50. Question and answer 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer begins the second group of petitions that explains the change in the pronouns that are used in this fourth petition in comparison to the pronouns that are used in the first three petitions. In the first three petitions, we prayed, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, beginning with this fourth petition, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts and deliver us out of temptation and from evil." Now the focus is on ourselves and on our needs. Now we supplicate the God of heaven and earth, the one who for Jesus' sake is our heavenly Father, on behalf of our own needs, our physical needs, as well as our spiritual needs. This is the proper order, not only for prayer, but the proper order for all of the Christian life. God is first. God's name, God's glory, God's will, and God's kingdom, those must be uppermost in our minds. They must have the first place always. But then, to God we come with our own needs. The needs that we have for the body, as well as the needs that we have for our souls. We look to Him for the supply of these needs. We are dependent upon Him, as prayer presupposes. And as children look to their parents for the satisfaction of their needs, so do we in prayer look to our Heavenly Father for the supply of all our needs. Among those petitions that concern our needs, this petition is first. The petition for daily bread. In this petition, we beseech God for the basic necessities of earthly life. And only after we have besought God for bread do we turn our attention to things spiritual and ask Him for the forgiveness of our sins, that's justification, and for deliverance from evil and out of temptation. To put it positively, we ask God for holiness And that's sanctification. All the blessings of salvation summarized in those two, justification and sanctification. But before those spiritual needs, we ask God for bread. Not, of course, because bread is of greater importance. Not at all. What is of greater importance by comparison are not our earthly needs, but our spiritual needs. For man does not live by bread alone, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The reason for the order of these last three petitions, the petitions that concern ourselves and our needs, is logical and chronological. In the order of time, the first need that we have is the need for bread. For if we do not have bread, we die. And if we die, we do not need the forgiveness of our sins, and we do not need holiness. Logically and chronologically, our first need is the need for bread. As with all of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this petition stands in subservience to everything that we have already prayed for. In other words, in this fourth petition, we are not simply asking God for bread. Bread all by itself. Bread as an end in itself. That would be a serious misunderstanding of the fourth petition. But we are asking God for bread, so that with the health and strength that we receive from the bread, we may hallow His name, seek His kingdom, and do His will. This is a fitting petition of the Lord's Prayer to consider on the occasion of Prayer Day. For our focus on Prayer Day is with our earthly needs. We look ahead to the new growing season, to the planting of the crops, the care and cultivation of them, and finally, the harvest of them, so that our earthly needs may be met. We are beseeching God tonight. We are beseeching Him collectively as a congregation for His care over us in this coming season, by supplying us with those things that are necessary for our earthly life in this world. Consider with me then the prayer that teaches to pray tonight, our prayer to Father for food. Let's notice three things. First of all, the modest request. Secondly, the usual means by which God answers our prayer for food. And thirdly, the confident approach that we make to God when we come to Him, our Father, with this prayer for food. Praying to Father for food. The request that we make of our Heavenly Father in this fourth petition is a very modest request. It is the request for bread. It is the request for bread for this day, for today. The request is for real, physical bread, for the bread that sustains our earthly and natural life. The Roman Catholic interpretation of the fourth petition, utterly impossible and erroneous, that the fourth petition is a prayer on behalf of the bread of the sacrament, the bread of the Mass, now converted into the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, is patently false. It needs no lengthy argumentation in order to demonstrate that this is simply not what the fourth petition is about. Not the bread of the sacrament, but our daily, daily bread. The bread that we need for our everyday life in this world. By making this request to God for bread, we are limiting our petition to our earthly needs. Our needs. That's implied in the request for bread. Just bread. Now it may please God, as it does at this time in our lives, in our country, at the beginning of the 21st century, it pleases God to give us a whole lot more than just bread. We live in a land in which we enjoy prosperity to one degree or another. All of us. None of us here tonight is wondering if we will have food to eat tomorrow. What we might eat. There are not only people in the world, but children of God, Christians, who do wonder about that tonight. We do not. It pleases God to give us far beyond our basic necessities. Nevertheless, our request of God is limited to our necessities. And if it pleases God to give us more, so much the better. But we do not ask God for more than bread. Not for steak, not for prime rib, not for mashed potatoes, not for apple pie and ice cream, but bread. By limiting our request for bread, the Heidelberg Catechism too understands the request to be for our earthly necessities. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, the necessities of life. That this is what we ask of God in the fourth petition is strengthened by what's added, that qualifier, this day. Give us this day our daily bread. The request is not only limited to our earthly necessities, but the request is so modest a request that it is limited to our earthly necessities for today. not for tomorrow, not for next week, next month, or next year, but we pray to God for bread for today. Now, of course, that does not mean that we ought not to plan for bread for next week or next month or next year. Planning for the future is not forbidden, but encouraged upon us by Scripture. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and see how diligently the ant labors in the summertime in preparation for the cold winter that is to come, laying up in store for the cold winter. So ought the child of God to make wise preparation for himself and his family for the future. But so far as our request of God is concerned, so far as our desire expressed to God in prayer is concerned, we are to limit our request to one day at a time. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. The plain significance of bread in the petition is that it stands for the basic necessities of life. Now, surely, the idea of the fourth petition is much broader than bread. For the fact of the matter is that if God were to answer our prayer in the fourth petition by giving us only bread, we would die. In short order, we would die. Even greater than bread is our need for water. And if all that we got was bread, it would not be very long, and we would become malnourished and sick and diseased, and we would die. We are asking God for more than only bread. But by asking him for bread, what is intended, what the bread stands for in the fourth petition, is our needs. Those things that are needful for our earthly life in the world. We pray for bread inasmuch as our earthly life depends on bread. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that is, had never experienced before God rained that manna down upon them the first day that they were in the wilderness, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, not by bread only, but the plain implication there is by bread also, by bread mainly, not only by bread, but indeed by bread. We live by means of bread and all the other necessities that are included in that designation, bread. Added to this is the word daily. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. We mustn't suppose that daily simply repeats the idea of this day, one day at a time. That's not the significance of daily. Rather, The idea of that word daily is the bread sufficient unto us this day. The bread that is necessary for us today, given the particular circumstances in our life on this day. The idea of daily is that the needs of one child of God over here may be quite different from the needs of a child of God over here. And the needs of the same child of God may be quite different at one stage of his earthly life in comparison to another stage of his earthly life. The need that the Christian has living, let us say, in a climate that is gripped by the cold winter with its wind and storm and snow is quite different from the needs of the child of God who lives in a tropical country, a country that never experiences the cold of winter, where snow is never seen, but where the temperatures are constantly in the 80s and the 90s. The need that the baby has, quite different from the need of the growing teenager, quite different from the needs of the working man, quite different still from the old man or the old woman living in the nursing home. That word daily takes into consideration the circumstances peculiar to every child of God at every stage of his earthly life. So that we must understand the fourth petition to be the request of God for the bread that we need this day according to the circumstances in which God has placed us today. Sufficient bread for those circumstances today. That's our request. But not only do we pray to God in the fourth petition for those needs that we have today for his supply of our earthly necessities, but it is the prayer that God will give us what we need, accompanied by his blessing. That's the fourth petition. That's how the Heidelberg Catechism very significantly explains the fourth petition. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. That's what we're praying for in the fourth petition. We are praying not merely for food and drink, for shelter and clothing, for necessary transportation, for a job at which we are able to work and supply the needs of ourselves and the members of our family. But we are praying to God that he will give us these necessities with and under his blessing. That's the thing. For you see, God gives to very many people the satisfaction of their earthly needs. God gives to very many people an abundance of the good things of this earth. He bestows upon them His gifts. They are the recipients of His gifts. And never once have they prayed to God, requesting that which they have received, nor ever once received these gifts as from His hand. Never once return thanks to Him for that which they have received. They've never prayed, never sincerely, the fourth petition. And yet they enjoy an abundance. What's the explanation? The explanation is simply this. That although they receive God's good gifts, receive them even in an abundance. They do not receive those gifts accompanied by His blessing. That's the thing. That's what we desire. That's what we desire more even than the gifts themselves. More even than the bread that sustains our earthly life, the blessing of Jehovah God. Now you can see, as plain as ever, that our Reformed confession, going all the way back to the Reformation, clearly distinguishes God's gifts on the one hand and God's blessing on the other hand. You mustn't confuse those two. You mustn't suppose that they who receive God's good gifts are automatically also the recipients of God's blessing. That's the error of supposing that there is grace in things. God's blessing and favor in things. Clearly, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in this 50th Lord's Day that those two are distinct. And that it is very well possible that a man or a woman receives God's gifts, God's good gifts, for there's nothing wrong with God's gifts, but does not receive God's blessing. Clearly, this 50th Lord's Day is a repudiation of the heresy, which it is, of common grace. Gifts and grace. Abundance and blessing are two different things. Recognizing that, the child of God humbles himself in the presence of God and beseeches God not only for gifts, but for God's blessing. What children, what young people in the congregation here tonight would have been satisfied this evening after they came home from school or from their work at a job and sat down to a table laden with an abundance of food, every meat imaginable, and only those vegetables that you like. And to eat to the full. with parents, sitting down with you at that table, who did not love you, who did not have a care for you, who would be satisfied with that situation? None of us, I would hope. For the love of father and mother and the peace and joy of that love in the family is more, much more than meat and drink. This is our desire. That this is our desire is plain from the fact that we bring this fourth petition to whom? To our Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Always out of thy fatherly love for us. Always out of the love that thou hast for us as a father that aims at our good physically and spiritually. That's what we're praying for in the fourth petition. This belongs to one of the important reasons, too, why we must pray for our daily bread. Why it's not enough that we simply, in our own minds and hearts, know that our earthly life is dependent upon God. We need to pray for our daily bread exactly so that every day anew we may be reminded not only of the fact that we are dependent upon God for these things, that, first of all, that's why God wills that we pray for these good gifts. He bestows His good gifts upon many unbelieving and ungodly people altogether apart from whether or not they pray. And if they pray, they pray insincerely. But He wills to bestow our daily bread upon us in response to our prayers to Him for our daily bread so that it will live in our consciousness every day that we depend upon Him. Not our own strength or ingenuity, but His hand, open wide. That's what supplies our daily bread. But then the second reason why it is His will that we pray is that we are never praying just for bread. We're never praying just for our earthly necessities. What we are always praying for, whether we make that explicit or not, what we are always praying for is those good gifts accompanied by God's blessing. Now that must be the attitude of our hearts. It's easy enough to say these words, give us this day our daily bread. It's quite another thing to live these words, to live out of the conviction of the fourth petition. It's one thing to pray these words, but actually to live in dependence upon the God to whom we pray for our daily bread. It's not the Walmart superstore. It's not Meijer or Aldi's or whatever other stores we may go to from which we receive our daily bread. It's not even from the farmer who grows these things in his field, harvests them, and then They're processed and made into the food that we are able to enjoy and profit from. But it is God. We must see God who opens wide his hand and gives to us our daily bread. That's how we must live. But then, when we pray to God for our daily bread, we must live out of the conviction that what we desire is never bread in and of itself, but his favor and his blessing, which mean more to us than life itself. But then we had better not be setting our heart upon the earthly things. We'd better not be living with hearts set on riches, on wealth. We'd better not be discontented with what we have. What would happen if God, in the most literal sense, would answer our prayer in this fourth petition and give us just our basic necessities for one day? What would be your response to that? My response: contentment, resting quietly and patiently in the hands of the God to whom we pray? I doubt it. I know myself, and I know my sinful nature, and I know how easily I am prone to become discontented because of God's way with me and because God does not give me those things that I desire. But to live by the grace of God out of this fourth petition in dependence upon him, seeking above all else his blessing, that's the thing. This modest request, God ordinarily supplies us with. He does it by means of our working. That's the usual means. Bread accompanied with his blessing, but in the way of our labor. Labor is implied in this fourth petition. A man's job, physical work, the labor that he does 6 days a week in obedience to the fourth commandment. We often overlook that aspect of the will of God in the fourth commandment, limiting the fourth commandment to God's will for our honoring, our resting, our worship of him on the Sabbath day. But that's not the whole of the fourth commandment. Work 6 days. That too is the will of God in the fourth commandment. The Catechism speaks of our labor as the ordinary means by which God is pleased to give us our earthly needs. It speaks of our care, neither our care nor industry. We mustn't be careless. We mustn't take the attitude that I can sit here in my lazy boy recliner and expect that God will drop food out of the heavens in order to supply my needs and the needs of my family if only I pray with enough sincerity and earnestness this fourth petition. Get up off that lazy boy and get to work. That's carelessness. That's a profane response to the will of God in this fourth petition. The Catechism also speaks of our industry. That's our work, our job, the calling, the vocation in which God has set each one of us. That is ordinarily the means by which he is pleased to supply our knee. The Apostle Paul warns in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, that if a man will not work, refuses to work, neither should he eat. Now, there are certain extraordinary ways in which God sometimes supplies the earthly needs of his people. Deuteronomy 8 makes reference to the extraordinary means by which God did that for 40 years while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness by supplying them with the manna. There's reference to the manna in the first part of verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. And again later in the chapter in verse 16. That work is the ordinary means by which God supplies our daily bread is no criticism of the child of God who cannot work. Maybe because of some permanent injury or disability, or because that child of God has become too old and is too frail to be able any longer to work, or because he can't find work, especially if there is a bad economy, or no criticism of the child of God who works diligently at a job, puts in overtime as much as he possibly can, maybe has a second part-time job, but still is unable to meet all the needs of his family, perhaps a large family. Then in an extraordinary way, with no shame involved, God supplies the needs of his people. He does that through the individuals and families in the congregation who on their own take notice and may reach out to this brother or sister in need. Or he does that through the congregation in the office of deacon. The care of the deacons upon objects of charity. But the ordinary means is working. The scriptures command this, and the scriptures are sharp in their condemnation of those who are lazy and slothful. That God is pleased to give us our daily bread by means of our working is implied in the fourth petition. Think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. That word bread presupposes a great deal of intense labor. The prayer in the fourth petition is not, give us this day our grain of wheat so that we may plant it, cultivate it, so that it will grow. It's give us this day our daily bread. It implies that the ground has been tilled and worked and prepared for planting. It implies the sowing of the seed by the farmer or the husbandman. It implies all of the care and cultivation bestowed upon the crops as they grow. It implies the gathering in of the harvest when the crops are ripe. It implies the grinding of the grain into flour, the mixing of the flour with the other ingredients, the baking of it so that finally we have bread. An abundance of labor before it's actually edible, digestible bread that will profit our earthly bodies. The wording in the petition itself underscores the will of God with respect to the means by which he supplies us with our earthly necessities, our labor. Even then, we must never lose sight of the fact that our daily bread comes to us from God. Not our care, not our hard work, not our ingenuity. There's as much pride involved when a man says, by means of my own hard work and my labor, this is where I've gotten myself. This is the wealth that I have accrued. This is the empire that I have built. That's as great a pride as the man who comes before God and says, here are my good works on the basis of which I merit my salvation. It's no greater pride in the first instance than in the second. To trust in ourselves, our own efforts, that we have made ourselves deserving of what we have as far as the good things of this earth are concerned, is to live in pride. Not to recognize our dependence upon God for everything. That's the thing that Moses warned the children of Israel against in Deuteronomy 8. That's his warning in verses 11 and following. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and gold is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, who preserved you in the wilderness, who brought you into Canaan, and who's bestowed all these good gifts upon you. That's the first step towards apostasy. As verse 19 indicates, it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. That's where it ends. But it begins by being puffed up with our own ability and pride on account of what we perceive to be our own accomplishments. Besides teaching that God is pleased through our working to supply our earthly necessities, this fourth petition indicates the proper motive that we must have in working. It's not to get rich. It's not to establish that financial empire. It's not to be lifted up in society so that we are recognized and deference is paid to us. It's not the will to become rich. All of that Scripture condemns. What must be our motivation in working? The supply of our daily bread. That by means of our working, God will be pleased under His blessing to give us what we need. And put us in a position to help others also. That too. For all time, the fourth petition is not, give me this day my daily bread. But Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't include the whole wide world, that we have a care for the hungry in far distant lands that we never come into contact with, are never in a position to share the gospel with. Our consciences must not be bound so that we suppose that we are under an obligation before God to send our money to the organizations that supposedly relieve the hungry in these far distant lands. You may do that, but no necessity of conscience. The necessity of conscience is our fellow believers, beginning with our fellow church members. Give us this day our daily bread. That means that we have an eye on our brothers and sisters. That means that when we see that they are in need, we reach out to them and help them. We don't only think about ourselves, but we think about the others also. Like every petition that he prays, the child of God prays this fourth petition confidently. With confidence, his approach to God when he prays the fourth petition is a confident approach. He's confident, first of all, that God will hear his prayer and give him his earthly needs. For God himself has instructed him to pray this prayer. And the God to whom he prays is the Almighty God, both able to supply our needs and as our Heavenly Father, willing to do so. We belong to him. The first Lord's Day of the Catechism, not only with the soul, but also with the body. To him we turn for the care of our earthly life. This confidence that we have in the Father to whom we bring this petition is strengthened by the fact that we come to Father in the name of Jesus Christ. He is our Father for Christ's sake. When we come to him, we make our petitions, this one included, on the basis of the cross and righteousness of Christ. We recognize that in ourselves, guilty sinners that we are, we do not only not deserve daily bread, not one crumb, not one drop of water, but we deserve judgment and wrath and death, that we dare to come to God, sinners that we are, and with confidence implore him, give us this day our daily bread, is grounded in Jesus Christ. Christ has paid for our sins. He's made atonement for the guilt of our sins. He's reconciled us to God. And therefore, in Christ, we have the right to eternal life and glory and the abundance of the blessings of salvation in comparison with which bread is nothing. If he is pleased to give us the one, we may be sure that it pleases him to give us the other, the lesser in importance, the daily bread. Oh, let it live in our consciousness when we beseech God, whether in the language, the very language of this petition, or in other words, for the supply of our earthly needs, let it live in our consciousness that it is because of Christ and Christ's cross, because of the living bread and the true manna of God come down from heaven, that we have a right also to bread. This is the peace and the confidence, then, that must live in the heart of the child of God. Does this mean that God may never give us, from our point of view, a lack, a want of our earthly necessities? Oh, yes. It may please God. It will please God at the end of time that His people will neither be able to buy nor sell. They will be hungry. Many of God's people in ages past experienced that lack. That was the case too with the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. It pleases God sometimes to cause His children to hunger. Even then, we have the confidence that what we have is what we truly need. What we have is the daily bread that He is pleased to give us, sufficient to glorify His name, seek His kingdom, and do His will. It's the confidence that the bread that I have and that God has distributed to me, however much or however little, is accompanied by His blessing. And then, because the child of God subjects all his prayers and petitions to the will of God, he will be content, in prosperity thankful, in adversity patient. And as far as the future is concerned, commits his needs and the needs of his family to the gracious provision of his heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Father in heaven, hear our prayers, grant our requests, cause, Heavenly Father, that we receive from Thee not only bread, but blessing, not only the abundance of the things of this earth, but Thy favor besides. And give us the grace to use what Thou dost bestow upon us, not first of all for self, but for the glory of Thy name, the coming of Thy kingdom, and the doing of Thy will. Amen.